just a beautiful song. The message is wonderful, and I just truly enjoyed this. And nobody I'd rather sing it with than Miss Susan. I think she brought this to us many, many years ago. This time of year, we get kind of busy as far as singing a lot of Christmas stuff, so I have to admit I enjoy that. You know, it only comes once a year. It's like it's all new again, you know, for a season. So anyway, but hope you enjoy this. Here I am to worship.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that made this heart adore you. Oh, God, a light sent me with you. And here I am to worship, here I am. Here I am to bow down, here I am to say that.
In God's Word, it speaks of the song of the redeemed, which is a song unlike any other. It's a song that the redeemed of God are going to sing for all eternity. And as I listened to the song which was just sang for us, which we just listened to, and I hope you were listening to the words, though I won't know what the song of the redeemed is exactly till I get there, it's got to be something like that. Where we come before the throne of God and we just praise and we worship Him. And as I was thinking about the song that was just sang, and as I think about the song that the songs that the choir was singing, especially the last one, He still came. In the end, no family, no friends, no crown, no robe, He still came. And I think about the lesson that Brother Keith gave us this morning, talking about how Jesus Christ knew no sin, was no sin upon Him ever in His life until He took ours on Him on the cross. When I think of that, the only thing that I can think to say is thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And it echoes through eternity and it'll never suffice. Are you thankful for God this morning? Have you thought about all He's done? Have you thought about all He's still doing? It's heavy upon me this morning. I praise the Lord. I hope that you do too. A couple of things before we get into our message. I wanted to read to you a couple of cards of thanks from some of the college students that we've had. I would truly like to give our thanks to our church family for the wonderful gift of cards that you sent us while at WVU. Making the transition to college is hard, but knowing that you have the support and love back home is such a blessing. Thank you, Nathan and Samuel Weichel. God bless. Dear Bluestone Baptist Church, thank you so much for thinking of us with all the food donations. We really, really, as emphasized, enjoyed that blessing. Joseph's Academy. Dear friends and family, what a wonderful Thanksgiving meal you sent us. Everything that you sent was something that I liked. Thank you so very much. May God shine His precious light on you and your work at home and at the church. Sincerely, Margaret Woodrum. You made my day. And a thank you to everyone who takes part in all of the ministries here at the church to do the things that the Lord has called us to do. And thank you to those ladies who not only prepare such wonderful meals for us during the praise dinner, but also have that heart to go out and take it to those who aren't able to join us. As you can see, your influence, your ministry, your testimony is felt in our community and by our church. And so from them and from me, thank you in taking part. Now, the reason that I wanted to really bring that this morning to you and to read those cards of thanks is it's a special morning, and with it, I'm going to bring to you a special message, which is really the same message that I've always tried to bring, and that is, of course, of Jesus Christ. This past week, we celebrated Thanksgiving. It's a season of thankfulness, and we're transitioning now from Thanksgiving season into the Advent or the Christmas season, right? We go from being thankful to God, which is something that's continually upon our hearts and should be, into a specific thing that we're thankful for, a specific thing. And that specific thing is the gift, the great gift of His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, as our propitiation to make a way where there was none. This morning, again, Keith made so many wonderful points. You know, as Baptists, we're kind of a reserved, a conservative bunch. But I tell you what, I had a real hard time not getting a little Bapticostal this morning with some amens and some praise the Lords and some hallelujahs as he talked about how good God's been and how he talked about how Jesus came to fulfill the law and how Jesus' purpose in coming here was to save you and to save me and all that would believe. My goodness, he made some good points this morning. Thanksgiving may be one of America's favorite holidays. Hopefully, as I said earlier, everyone got a chance to enjoy your families, to enjoy the time that you had with them, and hopefully to enjoy some good food. And I know the ladies at the church, so I'm sure we didn't miss out on good food, amen? Some of us ate two or three times. I was speaking with Nathan. I said, "Did you get some good food?" He said, "Twice. Took a nap in between." Amen. Well, even though Thanksgiving holiday is about thankfulness, I want to draw your attention for a moment to the 17th chapter of Luke. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, please turn there. Please turn there. And you may be thinking, preacher, Thanksgiving's over. You missed the Thanksgiving preaching. No. I want to bring it to you after the fact, because thankfulness is something that should continually be on our hearts and on our mind. Thankfulness, not only for the blessings we have in this life, but for what God has done. For what God has done. You know, if you go to the 17th chapter of Luke, and I want you to hop on down to verse 15 with me there. Hop on down to verse 15. Listen to this as I read. In the lesson here, as we come into chapter 17 of Luke, Jesus has just come across 10 lepers, right? And he heals all of them. Now, leprosy, as you may or may not know, it's a terrible disease. It's actually a bacterial infection, is what we know now. And that infection, it rots the body. It destroys the body, the nervous system. All the flesh becomes numb, and it eats at it until basically the things begin to fall off as it dies and decays. It also restricts the blood flow to these organs. It's a terrible, terrible disease. These 10 lepers, they come to Jesus, and Jesus heals all of them. Read there with me at 15 through 18. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. Now, the thing I want to point out to you from reading this passage of Scripture here, the thing I want us all to try to see and to think about this morning, as the message develops and as the sermon really brings the point home, I want you to ask yourself, has anyone here ever felt taken for granted? Anyone here ever felt maybe that you weren't really appreciated for all that you do? You mothers and fathers out there, you're not raising your hands, but we know, right? We know that the kids have no idea what I do for them, right? We've all felt like that. Well, Tony Evans, who's a popular speaker, a pastor, he once said, and I think he's absolutely right, that God is the one most taken for granted in all the universe. And I think he's absolutely right. God is the one most taken for granted of in all the universe. It is human nature to begin to take for granted the many blessings that we have, the people that we have, and the things that we have, especially when we've had them for some amount of time. It's the reason why a young child wants and desires and all their mind is set on this new toy or gizmo or gadget or thing. And let's be real, we're really just children in adult bodies. We don't change much, do we, folks? No. We want something, and we bend our mind on how we'll gain it. We work for it, whatever it is, we get it. And soon after, we find that it's old hat. I need a new one. I need a bigger one. I need a better one. I need a different one. Why? Because what we first saw as a great blessing, once we had it, we kind of begin to take it for granted, even though it's no less a blessing than it was. This morning, I want to point out some of the many, many, many things that we have to be thankful for, and I want to remind you of those blessings, which we may or may not have forgotten. Join me as we pray. Father God, Lord, we come before you this morning. Father, I am so excited about the message this morning. Lord, I'm excited about you, Lord, singing your praise. I know that there's a heart here this morning that beats for you. Lord, I pray that the fire that I'm feeling, Lord, is within every bosom today. Lord, that each of us would be drawn closer and closer to you, Lord, desiring your glory, Lord, to be seen in our lives. Father, that you'd be praised, that you'd be glorified with our testimonies. Father, we come to you today with thankful hearts. Lord, thankful for all the many things that you have done, that you are doing, that you will do, Father. But not only for those things, Lord, most of all, we thank you for salvation, for grace. Lord, that you are the one that makes a way. Lord, that as, again, Brother Keith spoke this morning of how it was impossible for there to come a child from a barren woman. Lord, that you are the one who deals in impossibility, that with God all things are possible. Father, we come before you this morning just thankful. Lord, we ask that your Spirit would be upon us as we come to dive into your word and to glean wisdom from it. Father, we pray that your hand would be upon those within our church, Lord, those that have gathered here this morning and those that could not. Father, that you'd use us mightily for your glory. Father, I pray that you'd be with me as I come to preach the message you've placed upon my heart. Lord, help me to see it clearly, to speak it clearly and accurately. I pray that ears and hearts would be open to receive it, Father, that we wouldn't simply hear and acknowledge that it's true, but Father, that in doing so, we would apply that to our lives. Father, that we'd be blessed and that you'd be glorified. Father, there's so much to be thankful for. We could never name them all. Lord, there's not enough time in a life, in 1,000 lives, to name all the many things that you've given, Lord. Lord, help us to be mindful of some of them this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to 1 Thessalonians. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians. We're going to go to chapter 5. We're going to go to verse 18, which is a fitting place to begin as we look at thankfulness. Again, that's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, where it says, "In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Have you thought about that? To give thanks in everything. Now, as we read that, I want to point out a couple of things to you. One really, really, really big thing this morning. As Christians, we ought to be the happiest, most thankful people on the face of the earth. You say, well, you know what? I'm going through some things, preacher. All right? Things in my life aren't a bowl of cherries, as they say. Right now, I'm dealing with something. I want to let you know that no matter where you are, no matter who you are, no matter what you're dealing with, if you are a child of God with the blood of Christ paid to your account, friend, you have a lot more to be thankful for than the vast majority of the entire world. You say, I haven't eaten in a week. That's okay. You say, well, I can't pay my rent. I'm going through some stuff in my marriage. I'm going through some stuff with my family. My children are away from God. Let me tell you something. The problems of life do not stop. But if you've got Jesus Christ to your account, then you ought to know how blessed you are. And today, this morning, I hope to bring that out to you. I hope to remind you of how good God's been. My, what a blessing we have. What a blessing we have. We ought to be more thankful, as I said, than any people in all the earth. And that's because we have something that nobody in all the earth can boast. In fact, we have something that nothing else in all of creation can boast of. We have the love of Almighty God living within us, a promise that echoes through eternity, that it doesn't end whenever your life ends. That love, that acceptance, that presence of God in your life is eternal. It's a promise. You've got something that nothing else can boast of. Do you know what else nothing else in all of creation can boast of? Nothing else in all of the Word of God tells us that it has this. Grace. The sovereign God of all the universe. The sovereign God of all the universe has said, you are guilty of sin and deserving of righteous judgment. And he says, but I love you. I love you with an undying love. I love you with a love that cannot be measured. And because I love you, I will make a way. I will provide a sacrifice. Nothing else in all of creation can boast of this. Think about that. Not the angels in heaven. Where are all of the angels going? Are they going to be recipients of grace? The only ones the Bible tells us that gets grace who would dare to defy Almighty God are his children. And yet he says, I'll forgive you. Have you thought about that? Does that not blow your mind? Grace of God. I want you to think about something. We have something so valuable that all of creation looks upon it in wonder. We have something so rare that in all of existence, there is but one. Something so powerful that Jesus said that the gates of hell could stand against it. That's the Holy Spirit, Almighty God, Jesus Christ, the Lord. That's what we have. Have you thought about that? When you think of that, it kind of makes everything else kind of pales in the comparison to what we have when you compare what we've been given with the rest of the world. Have you thought about that? Have you seen it in that light to realize what a blessing, what a precious thing we have? A couple of things I want to point out to you in this life, a point of things in the world that we have. The first thing I want to remind you of to be thankful for is material possessions. I want to teach you something about contentment. We ought to be thankful for the material possessions that we have, whether they be great or they be very small. No matter how much we have or do not have, it is within the human heart to constantly desire more. It's as if there's a hole in our heart. No matter what we try to put into that hole, no matter what we try to fill that gap with, it seems that there's always more room. It seems that there's always room for something else. Nothing seems to quite fill that precipice but Christ. Nothing but Christ. They say that the more that you have, the more that you want. The more money you make, the more money you'll spend. You say, well, if I could just get this, then I'd be happy. No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. Unless that something is Christ, no, you wouldn't. There's another thing that they say, which this one's true, though. More money, more problems. It's true. Because the more money we have, the more we depend upon it. The more we think about it. The more it becomes a focus point for us, a stumbling block, as the Bible might say. But for the things that God has given us, what a blessing. We constantly desire more, and I feel that so often we focus on what we do not have and how to obtain those things rather than focusing on the many blessings we have and what God has given us. Philippians 4, 11 and 13 through 13 says this, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. There's a very important principle spoken of here, and a principle that not only will be a blessing to your life, but a blessing to your spirit, to your soul, to your relationship with the people around you, and your relationship with God. And that is contentment. Contentment with God's will and provision for your life. It's whenever we say, God, you've not given enough, I need more. That's whenever we have hard times. That's whenever the heart is wrong. You see, when we say, God, I know that you are able, and should you desire me to have this thing, you'll do it. That's the right heart that we ask with. Should you desire, you'll give this. Should you not desire, you won't. Either way, I am content, because rather than the thing that you can give, Father, I have you. That's what a father wants to hear. When a child comes to their parent, imagine that, put yourself in the shoes for a moment, especially you those who are parents, you know this. When your child comes to you, what would you rather them ask you for? A thing, a toy, a gift, a present, or more time with you? Which one would do your heart glad? Think about that. That is what he's saying, contentment. He's content with what God would have for his life. If you want to break free of constant struggle for more, learn to be content. Not only content with material possessions that we have, but with the current situation of our lives. I want to reveal something to you that I hope that you've seen. Those of you who are older, you've probably seen this, and more so than I. Just because I'm the pastor doesn't mean that I don't have lessons to learn from you, the flock. I learn a lot from watching many of you. I learn a lot from the things I see in your life, the dedication that I see. I learn a lot from the time I spend with you. And here's something that I've come to see. And I'm going to tell those of you who may not have learned this yet. Life isn't fair. People say that a lot, and they're right. Life is not fair. But I want to tell you something that I think people miss when they say that. They're saying it wrong. We say that often, that life isn't fair, and we look at it in a negative connotation. We say, life's not fair. Look at this. Look at that. Oh, if only things were fair. Brother, sister, you don't want fair. Life is good. God is good. Life is blessed. Have you thought about that? Let me explain to you what fair means. You get to eat every other day. That's fair. It's rainy outside, right? It's going to be like this every other day of your whole life. That's fair, isn't it? That's fair. You get just as much sunshine. I'm sick today. Well, you're sick today? That's every other day. That'd be fair. You're healthy just as often, right? That's fair. I'm having financial issues. Well, you'll get a check tomorrow. It'll run out at the end of the day, but you'll get a check the days after that too. That'd be fair. Do you not see it yet? I hope that you're seeing it. Life's not fair, and praise God that it's not fair. Life is good. God is good. His mercy shines down on the just and the unjust alike. Praise God that our goodness does not dictate God's goodness. Either way, God is good. Praise God for that. Can I get an amen on that, that God is good all the time? Amen. Just because we're in church doesn't mean that we can't say, God, I love you. Amen. Good point. Praise the Lord. We can do that. We ought to do that. Is he not worthy? Yes, he's worthy. Is he not good to you? Can anyone here say, God hasn't been good to me? Of course you can't, not in truth. What's the one thing that we should desire from God? God! That's it. That's the thing. Is it wrong to desire other things? Of course not. But the thing that should matter above all is God. We ought to be thankful. So regardless of your material possessions, regardless of what you're going through, be thankful to God for what he's done. Be thankful to God that he's there, that he's mindful of you. As the scriptures say, who am I that you should be mindful of me? Have you thought of that? I think of that daily. I know who I am. I know who I was. And I think to myself, who am I that God should be merciful to me? No one. It's nothing but grace, nothing but love. Contentment allows us to see the blessings of God even in the worst of situations. No matter what you're going through this morning, no matter what sort of hardships are happening, God is with you, and he is blessing you. Though you may not see it right now, you can be certain of that. Second thing I want to remind you to be thankful for, not just the things that you have. This is a part that I'm going to try to keep my composure on. Your life and those who share in it. Your life and those that share in it. Have you thought about that? We ought to be thankful for each and every single day that we're given and those who share those days with us, every single one of them. The redeemed are described in the Word of God as a royal priesthood. Do you know what the Levitical priests were? Do you know what they did in the Old Testament daily? 1 Chronicles 23:30 says this, that they were to stand every morning to thank and praise the Lord. And likewise at evening, morning and evening, they would give thanks unto God. You and I are the royal priesthood of God. Is that how you wake up and is that how you rise and fall every day? Do you awaken? Do you think to yourself, God, I thank you for what you've given me today. Though I know not what the day is going to behold, it's your will and I thank you for it. When you lay down to sleep, you say, God, I thank you for the day that you gave. I thank you for the people in my life that you enabled me to spend with them every moment. I thank you for the ability that you gave me today to be a testimony of your love, a testimony of your grace, to speak kindness unto the world, to show the gospel in my life and in my deeds, in my words. Father, thank you. I'm reminded how thankful we ought to be, not only for our lives, as I said, but those that share in it, our families, our friends, our children, our mothers, our fathers, and yes, those that play minor roles in our lives. Now, wives, we're probably more thankful for you than you are of us. We give you a hard time, all right? But that's all right. We love you. We love you. Sorry for giving you such a hard time all the time, all right? A couple of things here. I want you to look at Philippians. In Philippians, we kind of see the biblical, the heart of Paul, who's writing this, and I want you to see here the love of others that's displayed in his opening statements there, Philippians 1, verses 3 to 8. He says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Anyone like that with those that God's put into your life? When you think of them, do you say, God, thank you. Thank you. I know they're not mine, they're yours, but you've given them to me for but a time. Thank you. He continues on, he says, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. And the reason that I said I want to make sure I keep my composure is when I read this, how thankful that he's talking about being for those in his life. Here specifically speaking to the church. I think of my children, my wife. I think of how blessed I am to have you in my life. Every one of you to hear this morning. Some of you I'm very, very close with. Some of you I'm not as close with. But I'm thankful for you. And I wonder if you thought about these things the way in which I think about these things, the way that I hope that you do, of the ones that God's put into your life. I remind you, I lost my sister at 17 years old. I saw the hardship that my mother and my father went through. We take so many things for granted till they're gone. Have you thought about the blessings that God has given you every day that he gives you with those in your life? Every opportunity that he gives you to speak love unto them, to speak grace unto them? My, how good God's been. My, how good God's been. How thankful I am that we have not only our families and our friends, but our fellowship of our church, to know that no matter what we're going through, I have a brother, I have sisters in Christ. Nathan spoke this morning during the prayer. He said, Lord, it's becoming more and more difficult to be open and conscious and honest about our faith, that we're able to preach and to praise God publicly. No matter what persecutions may come, no matter how things may change, to know that whatever we go through for Christ, with Christ, I go through not alone, but with you, fellow members, fellow sons and daughters of the highest. This is something that the Old Testament and even into the New Testament there with the beginning of the church with the persecution with Nero and Rome and as Paul and Peter and all of them were being chased down and put into shackles. They said that they had each other. They were together in the bonds of faith. Are you thankful for that this morning? I pray that you are. God places people in our lives for a multitude of reasons. All are to fulfill his purposes. Some are to teach us of the love of God, the relationship between God and man, husband and wife, father and child. Some are to lead us in the way that we should go, which are to be examples to us, our pastors, our deacons, mature Christians, good friends, role models. Have you considered your health? Have you considered the health of those that God puts into your life? I was thinking just the other night of my niece, Nevaeh. Nevaeh has been paralyzed from the neck down since she was 6 months old. Nevaeh is 18 years old now. Her entire life, she has been bedridden or moved by someone else everywhere that she goes. When I see that, I thank God as I look at what He's given me. I have two hands that I can lift up and praise God with. I got two feet that can take the gospel to other people so they can see the glories of God. I've got a mouth that can speak and praise His name. And my children likewise. Have you thought about the little things that really aren't so little, what we just take for granted? Praise God for what He's done. Praise Him. I assure you, He is worthy. Finally, and first and foremost, I saved the best for last. Salvation. Salvation. Most of all, we ought to be thankful for salvation, for God and His unfathomable gift of grace through faith. That gift of grace was not lightly given. There was a price so dear that you and I could never comprehend it. We could never comprehend the price that was paid. That God would give His only begotten Son, the King of heaven, would come down not with a robe of glory or with a crown, as the song sang this morning, but He would come down to the lowliest of men. What good can come out of Nazareth? That He would be persecuted, mocked, and humiliated by the very people whom He gave life to, by the very people who He came to die for. He went upon that cross, and if He wanted to, He could have called down legions of angels. He stayed up on that cross for you. Are you thankful? Do you think about that? Do you think what it must have been like for God the Father to be looking down and watching what we were doing to the Son that He loved so dearly as we mocked, persecute, and beat Him? Could you? Praise God. That's love. That's love. That in while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That blood shed for us is the only thing, by the way, that can wash away our sins. That's why it had to be. It was motivated by love. It was done in love. It was the ultimate act of love. That sin of our lives, it separates us from Almighty God. And the unfathomable, unmeasurable amount of love that God has for you, He could not not be with us. He couldn't. He made a way because of His love. The only way that He could make, by the sacrifice of God Himself. He gave of Himself for us to remove that separation so that we could come into the presence of God. Most popular verse probably in all the Bible, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. Above all the many material possessions that God's given you, above all of the talents, the gifts that He's provided, above everything that the world has to offer, I pray that you are above all else thankful for salvation, thankful for Christ, thankful for grace. God wants to change your life. He wants to change your eternity. All that we have to do to grab hold of the gift that He's offered is to call out to Him and believe on Jesus Christ. It's faith. It's always been faith. When you get it, you'll see it. To the world, it's foolishness. That's what the Bible says. Why? They don't see it. They don't see what we see. They don't have this love, this desire, this yearning, this thankfulness, this humility before Almighty God because they don't see God. When God comes to us and He takes the scales off our eyes, there's no other place that we can approach the throne from but to say, echoing through eternity, will never be enough. Thank you. Thank you. This morning I pray, if you don't know that God, if you don't know the God of the Bible, if you've never had a time in your life when you've come before the cross, when you've come before Jesus Christ to call out in faith, to say, Lord, have mercy on me, I am a sinner. To say, Lord, I want to be with you, I want to be forgiven, I want to be in the presence of God, I want the presence of God to go with me all the days of my life and throughout eternity. Then this morning I pray, come down before God and man, acknowledge Almighty God. And if you do that, I'll show you in God's Word how you can know that you're saved and how you will have contentment, how you will be blessed beyond measure, beyond words, in ways that no other can ever know. As the Spirit leads and as the congregation sings, I invite you to come.